and I don't take this opportunity lightly. It's hard for a preacher to give up his pulpit, especially when he has so much to say about God. And I really enjoyed Brother Bob when he came and preached at our family camp. Some of our people said we could just listen to him all day. And so it was a real blessing to have him. And we thank God for him, for his wife, and for the ministry. And we thank God for this ministry here, and we pray that you'll be able to continue to meet and the needs of the this neighborhood and the surrounding, and then the missionaries that you support. I thoroughly enjoyed the Sunday school lesson, and I didn't get here in time to hear all of it, but it was a tremendous blessing this morning. And matter of fact, my lesson will just be a little bit of an extension to what Brother Carr was saying this morning, and that really blessed my heart. This morning, we're going to talk about effective faith. And when I talk about effective faith, I'm talking about when our faith comes to the point where we believe that it is God's ability that we do his work and not our ability. That it is his way and not our way. And these are the things that we need to do. We need to understand that it's not our work, it's his work. And that our faith is in him, and that he wants to work through us. He wants us to be just vessels that he can pour himself through. And we have to be that vessel that's willing to sacrifice ourselves and be willing to allow God to use us in a special way. Don't you want your faith to be effective? I do, and as Brother Carr continued to say in his Sunday school lesson, he knows what the Bible says, and he believes it, and he doesn't like the person that he was, but God has transformed his life, and that, you know, he still has problems with the flesh, and we all will still have problems with the flesh. The Apostle Paul said he had problems with the flesh. But he admitted it, and he confessed it, and he was sorry because of the sins that he committed against God. And I love this, what the psalmist said. He said, "Lord, I believe. Help now mine unbelief." And this is a prayer that I have to pray every day. Every day. "Lord, I believe. Now help now mine unbelief." So I want to talk about faith. This reminds me of a story. It goes like this. For the umpteenth time, Mrs. Youngston came to her pastor to tell him, "I am so scared. My husband Joe says he's going to kill me if I continue to come to your church." "Yes, yes, my child." Now I know that Pastor Bob's never said that to you when you told him about a problem. More than a little tired of hearing this over and over again, he said, "I will continue to pray for you, Mrs. Youngston. Have faith. The Lord will watch over you." "Oh, yes," Ms. Youngston said. "He has kept me safe thus far. Only," and then Pastor interrupts her and says, "Only what, my child?" "Well, now he says, if I keep coming to your church, he's going to kill you." "Well," the pastor said, "maybe it's time you visit the church across town." Isn't that funny how that our faith can change when we become in trouble? You know, as Christians, a lot of times we always have the answers for everybody else that's going through a problem or a difficulty. But then when it comes to us coming through a problem or a difficulty, then all of a sudden our faith fails. And this is when it happens that we're not having effective faith, that other people have to believe in God, but sometimes we don't. Everyone thinks that their faith is good. Do you think that your faith is pretty good this morning? Do you think your faith is strong this morning? You know, there's a lot of people that think that their faith is truly strong. When we go out on visitation, I run into people all the time, and they think that their faith is good. Just last weekend, I came across two families that were Muslims. And you know what? Both of those families thought that their faith was good. Both of them thought that their faith was going to take them to paradise. But you know what? They believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in Jesus of the Bible. They believe Jesus is the Son of Mary. They don't believe that he is the Son of God. Jehovah's Witnesses have faith. They are so strong about their faith that they go door to door. Matter of fact, if I ask you today, how many of you have had a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door? Can you raise your hand? Yeah. Almost everyone in here has had a Jehovah's Witness knock on. And you know what's so funny is they have a strong faith. They believe that their faith is going to get them to heaven, but they don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. You know, they don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe that Jesus is a God, that he is a son of God, but he is not God in the flesh. Like the Old Testament actually prophesied and said that God, Emmanuel, was going to come and he was going to die and he was going to be sacrificed for our sins. They don't believe that he is God Almighty. The Mormons, they have great faith. And I have seen them riding their bicycles up and down the streets. I've seen them, you know, you travel and they've got them locked on signs as they go from place to place. And then I don't know if you know this, but Mormons also have to wear special underwear from the top of their shoulders to the bottom of their feet. And they are walking and telling people about a false Jesus in Australia in the heat of the day. Now that takes some faith, doesn't it? But they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Matter of fact, they believe that Jesus is a created being and that he is the brother of Satan. So their Jesus cannot save. And their faith is strong. But what is wrong with their faith? Well, their faith, no matter how strong it is, it's not based upon the foundation of the Word of God. And that's what our faith has to be actually founded on. Our faith this morning has to be based upon the Word of God. When our faith is based upon the Word of God, it becomes effective faith. Our faith is only powerful when it stands on God's Word. You know, the new teaching today, and I know that all of you've heard it, maybe some have fallen for it, is that you have to believe in yourself. You have to make a name for yourself. You have to be confident in yourself. Where Philippians 3:3 says that we should have no confidence in the flesh. You know, I want to talk to you this morning about four things that makes faith effective. And I want to use Abraham as an example. We find Abraham in the Bible a faith that was bigger than his own fleshly ability, but in the one and only God. Look what God promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, the scripture says this: "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir." Now, what the Lord was telling him in the first few verses, it talks about Eliezer, his servant that was raised in his household. And Abraham did not have any children. So he believed that God would have his servant, Eliezer, to be his heir. But God says, no, that shall not be your heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. In this verse here, God actually declares that Abraham will have seed from his own body. Now, every one of you know the story about Abraham and Sarah and about how that they wanted to have children. And they believed that God was going to do something for them, but they didn't believe that it was going to come through Sarah. And so what did they do? Well, they decided that, well, maybe Hagar. Hagar would be the one that would bear the child, and he would be the heir. And what do we understand about that? We understand that that was the wrong thing to do. They were trying to do it and work it out with their own flesh and with their own ability and not try to really trust in God and have faith in God. And we know to this day that the children of Hagar have been a thorn in the flesh to the Jewish nation, to Isaac. And here we have Ishmael, and God blessed Ishmael. Matter of fact, Ishmael, they had 12 sons. And Ishmael was a great nation, and they're a great and rich nation today. But they have done nothing but cause problems. Now, this is a lesson that we can all learn, is that when we try to do something in our own ability, with our own thoughts, and try to do something for God, there's always consequences that goes against what God really wants done. And so we have to be careful about what we decide to do and how we decide to do it and make sure that this is what God wants us to do. Nothing Abraham did in his own strength, trusting his own flesh, was effective. And I'm telling you, it's the exact same thing with you and me. If we try to do something with the leading of our own selves, we try to do it with our own power, and we try to do it with our own ability, I'll tell you what, the consequences can be drastic. And it can be problems to the things that God really wants to do in your life and the lives of others. But ultimately, Abraham became known as a man of tremendous faith. Don't you like stories like this? Don't you like stories where you hear about Abraham that's mentioned throughout the Bible in the Old Testament and New Testament, and God says that he wasn't perfect? Doesn't that give you some hope? Man, I'll tell you what, that gives me some hope that Abraham did things not in faith and in his own power and his own ability, and God still used him in a special way. And he overruled one of the things that my Bible teacher used to teach, is that God rules and he can overrule. And God can overrule some of the bad things that have happened in your life and that you've been responsible for. He can overrule those things and he can put you right back in track, right where you need to be. And he can forgive you for that past and that he won't mention it anymore. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, the scripture begins like this. Who against hope? Now, what it means about that, it means when all hope in human ability was forsaken. In other words, there was no hope in the human ability. Believed, Abraham is talking about, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham's faith turned to the point where he counted real that which he could not see. He couldn't see it, but he believed it. And this is where Hebrews 11:1 comes in, where it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Abraham's faith became effective. In order for faith to be effective in your life and mine, it must be based on this fact, that we must believe that God keeps his word. Do you believe that God keeps his word?
Amen.
Abraham got to the place where he believed that God keeps his word. When God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And he's going to do it exactly the way that he says he's going to do it. The scripture says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Everything in the Bible, brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, that God has promised will come true. Every bit of it. We might not know how it's going to be done, and we look at the world and how it is today, and we say, how is God going to bring this to pass? He's going to bring it to pass. Because whatever he says, whatever he's promised, he will bring it to pass. This is what I think about salvation. When God says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now God said it. And when he said it, there came a time that I believed it. You know, I believed that God saved me. You know what? I didn't feel saved. Did any of you feel saved when you got saved? Did anybody feel saved? You know, when I said I do to my wife in front of a preacher and all the people around, we said I do, she gave me a ring and I gave her a ring, and we said our vows, I didn't feel married. But I was married. It would have taken a court of law in order for me to get out of it and half my goods. Because the government said I was married. And when I confessed the Lord Jesus and asked him to save me from my sins, and I called upon the Lord to save me, he saved me. It didn't make any difference whether I felt like I was saved. You know, there's some mornings I get up now and I don't feel saved. But you know what? I'm saved. I'm not saved because of what I said. I am saved because of what I believed, and I believed what God said, and God said it, and I believed it, and you know what? That does settle it. It doesn't settle it because I believed it. It settles it because God said it, whether I believed it or not. God said it. Our faith, number two, is effective if we realize that God has the power and the resources to fulfill his word. Number two, our faith is effective if we realize that God has the power and resources to fulfill his word. Now, I want you to just turn over a few chapters in Genesis, back to Genesis chapter 17. Now, in Genesis 17, starting with verse number 15 or 16, it says, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Now wait a minute. Let's go back to that little passage in Romans. Chapter 4 and verse number 20. In chapter 4 and verse number 20, the scripture says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, that seems a whole lot different than falling down on your face and laughing, doesn't it? Does that sound like faith to you? Romans chapter 4 is not recording Abraham's lack of unbelief. Romans chapter 4 is when Abraham come to the point where he believed God. And he said, I now believe God. I now believe that it is his ability. Now it's his power. It's by his sources that God will give me a son. And so I'm looking forward to this as we are able to meet for the next few months when Brother Bob's gone. And I'm going to prove to you that the Lord does not record the Old Testament saints' sin in the New Testament. But it talks about their final belief. Now the Old Testament shows us how they got to that belief. But one shows us that Abraham didn't believe at one time. He even laughed. He thought it was funny that it couldn't happen in his old age, him being dead and his wife not being able to give a child to him. But in Romans 4 records his belief, his faith. And that's what helps us to know that there's hope for you and me. When we have a lack of faith, a lack of belief, that God is patient to help us and to show us to the point where we can say, now I believe God and I believe what he says and I will go because of what God is doing. And he says, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Our next step, number 3, is faith expects God to keep his promises. If you look just a few chapters over to Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 4 through 12. Genesis chapter 22, verses 4 through 12. Then it says in chapter 22, verse 4, it says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. You might circle that word worship. It's the first time that it is mentioned in the Bible. And come again to you. This helps us define what worship truly is. It's quite different than what many are doing today. Worship always is something that contains sacrifice, something that we give to God. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father,
And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You know, what a wonderful story about Abraham and his willingness to obey God. But you know, this chapter does not explain everything until we go to Hebrews chapter 11. When we go to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, it finishes up the story about Abraham and Isaac and what was going through Abraham's mind. In Hebrews 11, 17 through 19, the scripture says, By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, when you look at that verse, you have to understand what was going through Abraham's mind. What was going through his mind was, now God said that Isaac was going to make of us a great nation. And he showed us the heavens, and he said, Our nation's going to be like the stars of the heaven. And now God says for me to take that which he has promised me and to kill him. And then God is going to raise him up from the dead. And then he's going to marry and going to have children. And we're going to take my grandchildren to Maccas. You know, this is what was going through his head. He was seeing the future. Now, isn't this so much different than his faith when it was concerned about his wife having Isaac? Did you see how much his faith had grown? Aren't you glad that your faith and my faith grow on a daily basis? As we see God work in our past, and where we have dealt with unbelief, thinking that God's not able, we have that person that we wanted to see saved, and they haven't been saved. We have that job that we need. We have that money that we have to pay a bill. And all of a sudden, it comes. And you say, that had to be God. You know, faith becomes an everyday sort of thing with you and me. You know, God brings problems and difficulties in our life so that we can believe in him fuller. You know, when Joyce and I came back from America, we were with United Airlines. Now, I'm giving them a commercial here, and it's a bad one. So don't fly United. Am I allowed to do that, brother? Amen. But anyways, they told me, you know, my travel agent said I could have so much weight. And when I got there, they said, no, you can't. So I ended up having to pay extra money to carry two bags. Then when I got over into London and had to switch flights and go to another plane, They said, oh, you can carry it, but it's going to cost you $1,500. So I said, this is the Lord teaching me about baggage in my life. And so, you know what I did? We just opened up the suitcase and we started taking all the stuff out and throwing it to the side. People were coming like vultures, you know. And so we threw all that stuff away. But, you know, before we left Australia, we said, well, we're going to start afresh. We got rid of all of our stuff. We gave it away. All of our clothes and stuff, just had a little few things left when we got back. And we bought all new stuff and put it in the suitcase and brought it with us. And then we left it in London. And so I come over, and Brother Bob wanted to talk to me, tell me what was going to go on, what I should have expected. And then all of a sudden he said, well, I'm packing up all those things. Listen, I've got some pants. You know, God had already started whispering in Brother Bob. And he was saying, yeah, Brother Sam, he's about as fat as I am. So I think he could probably wear my pants. But God was saying, I'm seeing if Eddie will trust me to give him some pants. Now, I didn't tell Bob this story. I didn't tell him that I'd lost my stuff. But God put it on his heart and gave me, I think it was 10 pair of pants. Hardly ever worn. Still brand new tags in them. And they all fit, except for three. And the reason they couldn't fit you is because they were labeled wrong. But that's how God increases our faith. And God increased Abraham's faith because Sarah had a child exactly like he said it was going. And when he said, you sacrifice your son here. Yep. We're going to go to the mountain. You get the wood, and then when he gets there, he tells his son, he says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. He knew all along that there was going to be a sacrifice for him. Had already prepared him. But now Abraham knew that his faith had grown. Our fourth step is faith. Accepts God's provision. If you turn back to Genesis 12, Genesis chapter 12, and verse number 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, the scripture says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now I tell you, that takes a lot of faith. For a person to pack his bags and take whatever he has and to move and go where God wanted him to go. But it was just simple obedience is what he needed to accept what God had promised. Abraham was told to go and he packed up and he went and accepted the gift that God had given him. He believed that he left that God would provide for them. Now, I can tell you, and Pastor Bob can tell you, that if the Lord is speaking to your heart about being a missionary and going to another field that God will provide. Now, you can ask Pastor Bob and you can ask me, did I believe that God was going to provide before I left? The answer was no. I didn't know how he was going to provide. I'd always been able to work and make money, and then taking that step and quitting that job. That was my first step. And then all of a sudden, support started coming in and people started giving. People started being interested in what I was going to do. And then people got interested in helping me to come to Australia. All I had to do is simple obedience and say, God, here am I. Send me. At 19 years old, I gave God a blank check for my life. I told God, I said, Lord, wherever you want me to go and wherever you, whatever you want me to do, I will do. And then I had an imaginary check and I signed my name to him, giving him the authority to fill out the amount. I had no idea he'd ever cash that check, but he did. And if today you're a Christian and you believe that God wants you to be in the ministry, then start today by saying, God, I give you a blank check and you do whatever you want with me. Wherever you send me, I know that you will provide. Whatever you want me to do, I will do. And God will bless. So the four things that we learned this morning, effective faith is based on these things. God will keep his word. The belief that God's word is true and he will never lie. And number three, that God will keep his promises. And then the fourth, because we believe, we step out on faith and accept it as a reality in our life because we believe that God will provide and make a way for whatever he wants me to do. Now, maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior. You know, today is the day of salvation. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. You heard the Sunday school lesson this morning, and you've realized and you've understood that you are a sinner and that you need to be saved and you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for your salvation, and believe in him and call out on his name and say, Lord, save me from my sins. I believe he will save you because he saved me. And there's many others here that have trusted Jesus as their personal Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The pastor comes. Father, we do thank you for the blessings of this day. We thank you for the Old Testament and the New Testament. We thank you for Abraham and for his testimony. And Lord, you've laid him open so that we could see his life when he lacked faith, and then when he trusted you with all of his heart. Father, I pray that you would be with that Christian this morning that has been lacking faith. Lord, I pray that they would just believe. Open their eyes and help them to understand that you will do what you promised, and that you have the power, and that we base our faith on your word. Lord, strengthen us this morning. And Father, we pray for that dear soul that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. Father, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Appreciate that message. Certainly our faith needs to be increased.